So last Sunday, a young one in our congregation, Katie McKay, she's in our coming of age class, she shared a reflection about how one of the most precious moments in her life had been when her new cat had fallen asleep on her lap. How she was holding this little, delicate, tender life in her arms as her cat fell asleep. This profound sense of purpose while holding another life is what she felt, while holding another life. It seems to me that this is a motherly posture to hold another life, or perhaps that is just my perspective, because I can think back to the times that my mother held me when I was afraid. You know, we look a little scary when we're afraid. We look a little funny when we're afraid. We normally have tears running down our faces, and our faces are contorted in strange ways, and still there are those who will reach out and hold us anyway. So I just had occasion to hold my mother on this last trip when I went home. I went home from my dad's retirement, his retirement from 43 years of service to one institution. My mom is a lot shorter than me. She's about 5'5". She fights for that half inch, and normally when she hugs me, she gets up on a stair above me so that she can hug me from above, and it doesn't feel like I just crowd her out. She only weighs 84 pounds. She's a teeny tiny little lady. So I will diminish myself to be hugged and held by her. But on this trip, she was afraid. She was afraid because she's been dedicating her whole life to my father's career as well. And so she'd been supporting him in his decision to retire, and she hadn't realized yet how much it meant to her that this change was happening in her life. And she realized that she was very afraid, and she did not get up on a step. She just reached out and asked to be held. And I think that's the first time that I have had that honor, that she put herself into my arms for keeping. A dear, and you know, before I go on, I have to share, Bonnie, the hymnal that I ended up with this morning, this one is in loving memory to Sally Leapoff, to your mom. It is a gift to hold this morning. A dear Unitarian Universalist from Tennessee, a man who is in the process of moving here, he sent me this wonderful Unitarian Universalist reading for Mother's Day that he had found in one of our faith publications. It is astoundingly Unitarian Universalist, this reading. And what do I mean by that? I mean that it pulls out line after line every possible experience one might have to Mother's Day or to mothers. We want to make sure that everyone is included. It gives space for those who are mourning the loss of their mother. It gives space for them to lament. It honors mothers who gifted their children to needy families for adoption. It recognizes mothers who know they are mothers, even when society at large does not reflect that truth back to them, and so on and so on and so on. The reading attempts to hold us all. And just the other night, I had occasion to offer an invocation at my father's retirement dinner, and I said some of the words that I say almost every Sunday to you. I shared words like, in prayer, in meditation, in reflection, as you are called individually to enter into this space of silence, you are welcome. We will hold this silence together. And I don't think much about sharing those words. It's Unitarian Universalist. It's what I do. It's what we do when we come together. But I had reflected back to me so many people saying, wow, you gave space. You held us all. It is a special and unique and necessary thing that we do here in creating that space for communion from all of our individual ways that we can come together and be held. So what I want to help us do on this Mother's Day is to expand the idea of holding. To understand at a deeper level what it might mean to hold one another, to hold others. We have an expansion project of our parking lot going on outside, so we might as well expand inside today the idea of holding. Hold your breath. Hold my hand. Hold on to love. Hold the road. Hold off. These are all ways to hold. We are held and we hold in a diversity of ways. First, to hold, to grasp, to carry, to support. I heard this lovely story the other day of a young woman who was on her first plane flight, and her first plane flight was this flight of incredible turbulence, and the plane shook the entire time. And she was sitting next to a man who was also scared, though she didn't know because her eyes were closed the entire time as she was praying for the flight to end. And just when it got close to the end of the flight, the man who was sitting next to her said, "Would it be okay if I held your hand?" And he reached out and he grasped her hand and he held her. And they realized that both of their hands were shaking, and not just from the turbulence, but by grasping one another, they felt safety. To hold, to grasp, to carry, to support. To hold, to keep, to sustain. We here, we hold the space for those who haven't found us yet. Take a look at one of the empty seats next to you. It's not really an empty seat. It is an empty seat, but it's not, because it's being held. It's a seat that is being held for someone who needs this, who hasn't found it yet. Kept, sustained. To hold, to embrace. I witness some 30 hugs every Sunday. Maybe 60, maybe 90, I don't know how many really. But I was thinking about that. There is no other place in my life where I see that many hugs. Except my dad's retirement dinner. But that only happens once a lifetime. What a gift to have a space where embracing is normal and multiplied in multifarious and beautiful ways. To hold, to embrace, to hold, to bear witness to the weight of a person or a thing. To hold, to bear the weight of a person or a thing. I like to think about the times that I've been falling, whether I'm on a slippery path and I reach out and I grab a branch, or the times that I've been falling, perhaps in an emotional way, and I reach out and someone holds my weight. To hold, to bear the weight, to bear the weight. To hold, to keep someone's attention, like in a sermon. To enthrall, to rivet, to mesmerize, to transfix. Not necessarily like in a sermon. Perhaps like in the first bloom of love. I meet with couples all the time and have the great honor of preparing their wedding ceremonies for them. And they talk about that time of being transfixed, of being held. And then we talk about how, if their relationship will sustain, their work is figuring out how to hold one another when they are no longer transfixed and enthralled. To hold, to keep someone's attention. And finally, to refuse to abandon or change. To hold, to refuse to abandon or change. The first person that this brings to mind is Norbert Chopin. That he refused to abandon or change his ideals, and it meant his death. But he did it because he knew his community and his world and his soul were worth it. And the second person that comes to mind is Mike Berger, your husband, who has had the same shoes for how many years now, Rosalie?
I don't know, maybe 40.
Maybe 40 years. He refuses to abandon or change his shoes. to hold on to something because we find it beautiful, to hold on to it because it allows us to walk, to move through this world, to hold. And finally, why am I talking about all this stuff? There is one thing that I have learned about holding. It's what we do here, and it's necessary and good. There are two reasons that people come to a worship service and stay, that come to a congregation and stay. Two reasons. The first reason is they find purpose and meaning in the service itself. Maybe the minister says some things that are interesting. Maybe they love the rituals that we do. Maybe the music gives their soul solace on a Sunday. So the first reason is the worship service, that something of meaning is found there. But the second reason, which is more important even, because no one stays with a congregation unless they find that they have been held by someone there, by a prayer shawl, by someone that sits next to them, by a person in that congregation who embraces them, who holds them, who sees them fully, who gives them love. You can't have one without the other in a congregation. And what you do is hold. Thank you to all the mothers who have held us, who have taught us this gift. And when I say mothers, I mean that expansively. And thank you all for being that place of holding. Amen.